with the Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 9th of June. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jewel Serkin.
Good afternoon, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, how are you?
I'm a little bit stuffed, to be honest.
You're what?
I'm stuffed.
I'm not surprised. I saw the amount of cake you stuck away on your inferior show.
Show 95, superior show.
Yeah.
Scoff and Quaff, 11 to
Russian
12.
Cakes, Australian cakes.
Yes, well, actually, you know that Russian cake, Jenka, mm-hmm. the lovely Jenka, from Samovar_Foods, that was actually mascarpone.
That's Italian.
Yeah, so a little Russian-Italian made in Kent.
Is it mascarpone with cheese? Isn't
no, it
cheese?
Wasn't at all mousy.
Was it not?
No, it was gluten-free, made with almonds. It was gorgeous. It was moist and gorgeous. Can't say moist on retina.
You can say moist, I'll allow you.
On your show.
Mm-hmm.
And then Craig Avery, who does the 5pm show on Channel Radio,
mm-hmm.
came in and scoffed a great big wedge. And then moaned about it.
Did he have
it.
Any cake?
Well, just the way he walked, I think, probably.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah, had a lot of eating. A lot of eating going on.
Cool.
Sorry for the chortling in the background, but we have some rather guests that are seeing the innuendo in our conversation, Paul Andrews.
Really?
Yeah, who are our guests this week?
I've no idea. They just wandered in, along with a porcupine.
Well,
we have a fabulous lineup of guests.
We do
have a fabulous lineup of guests and a fantastic sponsor. This week's show sponsor are the Scandinavian payment car payment systems company, iZettle. And iZettle UK are this week's show sponsors, and a big, big thank you to them.
Are you going to see them in London?
I'm going to see them in London tomorrow.
Mañana. But aren't we also on the LinkedIn Ladies show as well?
Tomorrow night.
So how are we going to fit all this in?
Oh, it's a hectic schedule, isn't it? For international radio superstars.
You are like Superman.
Yeah, yeah. Something
and,
like that.
And Dame Edna.
And yeah. Dame Edna.
I thought that when you said it.
Little possums.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I was about to introduce our guest before you rudely interrupted.
Oh, do.
Yes, yeah. It's a fabulous, fabulous pleasure to welcome our guests on today's show. We have the lovely Hilary Steele, editor of the Kent Women in Business magazine, organiser of the Kent Women in Business Awards, the Kent Health and Beauty Awards, the Kent Independent Traders Awards. Blimey, she does so many things.
Every award.
There are 90 awards. She's a little entrepreneur, and she's just rebranded and relaunched her company, Business Legacy.
Correct.
Blimey. Yeah. I normally get that backwards. Business Legacy.
Her business card is now so big. Because she can't.
She brings it on a Pantechnicon.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
That big. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're also joined in.
Or
the
a new role it could go on, of course. You just keep rolling it and rolling it,
it's
you
worth
know.
More than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it depends on where you are.
That would work,
darling.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. Claridge's loo roll.
Absolutely. We're also joined in the studio by the lovely Claire Reeves, Claire on Air, voiceover artist extraordinaire, and long term. Well, not that long, because she's not that old, but lots of radio experience.
Nobody's that old next to you.
Yeah, true.
She's a trained actor, you know.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And we're going to be talking to Claire later. And also we're joined by Kate Pinkerton of the UK Trade and Industry Organisation, encouraging us as small businesses to get out there in the world and export. So we'll be
very
talking.
Very interesting.
We're joined by those guys in the studio, which is lovely. And we've also got some recorded interviews that we recorded at the Rift Accounting B2B Business Support Base Camp at Kent 2020. So we'll be playing all of those. So packed lineup of stuff on the show today. But as always, we want to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, and you can get in touch with us in a number of ways. You can call us on 01 303 874 998. That's 01 303 874 998. Or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us on the show
to get hold of your leg
is to tweet me at VanillaWeb.
Pull your leg.
Now, that's your job.
Oh, yes. Is it?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm
right,
here
have
for?
You finished messing with your phone now?
No, I'm just showing Hilary the lovely photo I took of them all.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
She wasn't impressed, though.
I'm not surprised.
Mm.
Okay. So when you finish playing with your phone, would you like to read something?
Yeah, what shall I read? Enid Blyton?
No, read an email.
Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, can I just hand you my green tea bag? Sorry to be rude.
I bet that's hot.
Yeah, it's boiling.
Thank you.
Careful. He's got like little asbestos hands, but as he's my tea boy, Hilary, I do like to always start the show off in that way.
By handing me a hot tea bag. Yeah.
There is a business community breakfast. It's Thursday, the 11th of June. So that's this Thursday. And this is from Colin Brown. I'm going to read out his email in a minute, so if you get your pen poised. He says, there's only a couple of days till this month's Business Community Breakfast, so have a think as to whom you might invite along as a guest at 7:30 a.m. this Thursday at the Honourable Pilot. There's as much breakfast as you like for $8.75.
Blimey.
Yeah, where is the Honourable Pilot?
It's in Gillingham. So you go and presumably now with that, that's like a red rag to a bull with
exactly.
you, isn't it?
Exactly.
Eat as much as you like for £8.
£8.75.
They don't know what they've let themselves in for there, do they? The whole Medway infrastructure will collapse under that.
He doesn't mention whether there's Prosecco involved. Now, the email for Colin Brown is colin@businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk. So that is this Thursday at 7:30 a.m. at the Honourable Pilot near Gillingham, as my lovely tea boy has quite frankly pointed out.
Absolutely. Thank you for that.
Kent and Victor Chamber have a full English, 8 a.m. to 9:30.
Are you going to read all the breakfasts out first? Is that what you're going to do?
Everything that I can eat.
Okay.
Chamber members, it's only £15 plus VAT, and non-members are £20 plus VAT. It's an opportunity to put your business in the spotlight to highlight your products and services. Now, Kent Healthy Business Awards. Free business breakfast, they say. This is at the Best Western Coniston Hotel in Sittingbourne. Improving economic performance through people and environment. And this is done in partnership with KCC, Kent County Council. And it's Friday the 17th of July, as I said, in Sittingbourne at the Best Western Coniston Hotel. You can go on to Kent and Victor Chamber website, which is kentandvictorchamber.co.uk, or you can look at Paul Andrews' lovely website, which is, what is it, kentbusinessradio.co.uk as well.
You are quite right, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
You know why I've gone a bit blank?
Your age?
No, nothing to do with my age. Too much cake, sugar rush.
You've only just noticed that after all these years. There's a link between your performance and the amount of stuff you stuff in your face every day.
Performance can enhance, you know, something.
Is that right?
Depends what you're eating. Yeah. You should have bought caviar, it'd have been all right, wouldn't I?
Absolutely. Caviar cakes. Mm. Oh, she was Russian though, wasn't she?
Yeah. Well, I thought she came quite late, actually. Up-and-coming FSB events, Paul Andrews, you might find of interest. We also list selected third-party events, they say. So this is a company called ProActions. I'll read out the website, actually, and you can check it out. www.pro-actions.com/events. So what they've got coming up is the 19th of June, they've got Ebbsfleet Garden City Conference. Are you going to that?
Yes, I am.
Thought you might be. What will you be talking about?
I will be.
What will you be talking about?
Ebbsfleet Garden.
Will you be talking about facilities?
Facilities? No, I know where the facilities is.
Infrastructure.
Sorry, I was being facetious.
I
will be talking about skills.
No, you weren't being facetious. You were too busy looking at your tweets.
No, I was listening to you.
Engage.
I'm at the Ebbsfleet Garden Conference and we will be talking about skills and the lack of them.
Why I come here, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Guests are flabbergasted.
Where do you normally go for abuse?
Well, at home I do quite well, actually.
Yeah, nice one, Gav.
He's got a new book out, you know.
No,
yeah.
Really? What's it called?
Frontier Funds.
Is it really?
Exploring the top 10 emerging frontier markets of tomorrow.
Absolutely.
By Gavin Serkin.
Absolutely. Buy it now.
Did you know?
Wiley & Company Publishers.
Yes,
yeah.
Very good. Did you know he's had a 5-star review from the Financial Times?
I do.
They said it's a must read.
I know. He's on the radio again as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's on Share Radio again.
He's often on Share Radio.
Yeah.
And he's going to New York in July to
I bet I know someone that's blagged a trip with that.
Yeah, I thought there might be room for a small one.
Yeah. But
I mean, why not Hillary?
But then you went instead.
Well, Hillary wants to come as well.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're all going.
Always up for it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure Gav wouldn't mind. anyway, as I was saying, Ebbsfleet Garden City Conference, where Paul Andrews will be, they're saying 96% of employers hire on attitude, not skills. And there's another little thing happening, which is the 23rd of June, and it's the FSB, that's Federation of Small Business, Auto Enrollment Pensions. And they've got Steve Kilfoyle, who's an IFA, and they've got Squirrel Financial Planning from Maidstone.
There you go.
They've been on the show, haven't they?
They have indeed. Yes. Steve is from Squirrel Financial Planning.
Something that perks me up, and I'm sure Hillary would like to swank down with me. Hillary Swank.
I wonder where she was going with that.
Very close, but 14th of July, Chapel Down Wine. have a networking event, and they say meet other FSB members at the summer's networking event and enjoy a guided tour of Chapeldown Vineyards, Tenterton. You might find me behind a barrel there.
Yeah, absolutely, with a tap open. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
The guided tour just carries on.
Thank you for that, Jules.
Are you getting a theme here, I guess?
Yeah. Jules eats and drinks for Britain. If we could if we could export Jules, that would be brilliant.
That's wonders for carver sales when I go to Spain, isn't it?
Yeah, you drunk them dry, didn't you?
Yeah.
Let's read a few tweets. We've had a tweet from Servco UK, who say, listen to the Business Bunker show. We're hiring at the moment, and we're really, really impressed with jobs in Kentside, and they're looking for nighttime support staff. So do check that out on the newly launched Jobs in Kent website. The newly updated Gillian Monk of All Health Matters says that we are at the SH Expo. Do visit our stand, All Health Matters. We're stand P2750 next week at the Excel Centre, and you can get a free BP or blood pressure check. I just guess that is. Yeah, BP, blood pressure check. So do go and say hello to Jill and the folks at All Health Matters on stand P2750 at next week's Excel SH Expo.
BP could be petrol, couldn't it?
It could be, but I don't think she'd find much in our veins, so I'm fairly sure that as she's a health company and not an oil drilling company, she's offering blood pressure tests.
I think you're very wise to say that.
Yeah, probably. Pete Cook has tweeted.
Oh, yes.
Tonight, he says, in capital letters, tonight in Medway, networking, music, film and books. And he's given me a LinkedIn address that you can find out about it, which I can't read. So follow Pete on the Twitter and find out about his event in Midway tonight. And you can follow Pete. His Twitter handle is Academy of Rock. Academy of Rock.
Well worth a follow there.
And Peter is very well worth a follow. Yeah. A very prolific author and consultant with some fabulous books. Punk HR is my favourite.
Yes, so you've said on most shows.
On many occasions, yes.
It's all right, I'm tweeting. You carry on.
Okay. Western Hanger Castle, Vanillaware, Business Bunker. Hello, we're listening. Don't forget, it's Father's Day soon, and we have JJK Julia singing for us at our Father's Day special. And that is on Sunday the 21st of June. And you can relax and enjoy a top quality chef prepared carvery roast and dessert, and the lovely JJK Julia singing to you between 1 and 4 p.m. for under 20 quid a person. And you need to get hold of Westingham Castle in order to book that. And you need to be pretty rapid because the place is going fast. And we had an event last week, didn't we, at Westingham Castle.
It was amazing.
And what a fabulous, fabulous venue it is.
She nailed it. She absolutely nailed it.
Well,
Hillary was there.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. It was a great event. And a lot of these things where you have a large number of people there and you have to serve a lot of lunches all at one go can be a bit, you know, hit and miss. Mm. But wasn't the food good?
It was fabulous. Yeah. And the timing was great. The service, and I think I said, may have said last week, so excuse me, listener, if I'm repeating myself, often do after I've eaten too much. Mm. But the waitress, when she brought me a knife, she didn't put her paws all over the bit that you're going to eat with.
Buried it between your shoulder blades.
Between my shoulder blades.
Which is what I paid her to do.
She actually handed it very delicately to me without pouring all over it, which I thought, well, that was 150 brownie points from me.
Wow. Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
Things like that.
Book your Father's Day lunch at the Westinghanger Castle, and you can the easiest way to find out about it is follow Sarah, who's the owner of Westinghanger Castle, on the Twitter, and her Twitter handle is SP Wedding Events. SP Wedding Events.
And it comes up as Westinghanger Castle, the name,
it does,
doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, but it's SP Wedding Events is beautiful the actual
venue.
Twitter handle.
I sat there on the lawn drinking a little bottle of champagne, quite a large bottle of champagne.
Yeah, you blagged that as well, didn't you?
Well, no, I didn't. I sat on the lawn saying, oh, I've just done a Business Bunker, and she felt sorry for me.
Yeah, exactly. And then you just turned up unannounced. She turned up unannounced, listener, to the castle and just went, it's my birthday. I've just finished the radio show. I'm thirsty.
I was on my way to Saltwood on the Green, wasn't I?
Yeah, to drink more.
Yeah, I had to fill in. I had about 2 hours.
And you had
hours.
A gap of about an hour between drinking and eating here.
That's
and
right.
Drinking and eating in Folkestone. So you stopped off at Hythe.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't make it all the way to Folkestone.
No.
A journey of at least 10 minutes, unless you're clear where it takes an hour. In joke, sorry. And then And then you blagged a bottle of champagne out of Sarah.
It was beautiful. And I sat on the lawn. I kicked off my shoes, listener, and sat on the lawn and spread out, really, and just drank. Well, it all went anyway. I'm not sure if I drank it all. Maybe I shared some. And then my new husband, the author, came and got me. I didn't have to drive home, luckily.
Blimey, you're lucky, are you?
Yeah, Frontier Funds.
Absolutely. We've had a tweet from lovely Deborah Turner of U Image Consult, who says she's enjoying the Business Bunker Show. And we've also had a tweet from Metis Women, Metis Women UK on the Twitter, who say they're listening in. And just want to say a big get well soon to Danny, Danny Tickner of Samsung Gas.
What's he been up to?
Had an operation recently and he's laying at home on his chaise lounge listening to the Business Bunker Show in recovery mode.
Now, that explains it, because he was tweeting very diligently yesterday about the Superior Show, Scoff and Quaff. And I thought, I could tell he had a lot of time on his hands.
Mm. There you go.
Luckily, it's not a boiler that's blown up or anything.
Absolutely. Cool. So get well soon, Dan.
Yes.
I read this last week and we've had a follow-up and we're not happy. We are not happy.
Oh, no. What's happened?
We need something doing here. Mm. Lads and lasses out there. If you remember, Jill Humble, who is the founder and organizer of Target Your Potential, which is a not-for-profit organization that helps long-term unemployed young people into work, was struggling. She has a small business where she gives young people work experience, paid work experience, and what they do is they have advertising bicycles.
Oh, that was right, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And they cycle around a bit like a sandwich board, but on a bike, okay. And because of health and safety and all the other nonsense that we put up with all the time, she needs to have them insured. And she can't get them insured. Last week, she put out a plea for insurance brokers to talk to her. Sadly, some of them have. And the cheapest quote for three people was £10,000.
God. Because if, yeah, well, you know what happens to cyclists. Do they have to wear a helmet?
Yeah.
If they're working?
You have to wear a helmet anyway.
But, for a bike, for a pedal bike.
But yes, you'd have to wear a helmet. Now, I don't know the actual details, but she's a bit upset, as you can imagine, because if she can't get insurance, she's got to close the scheme down and tell all those young people that she's just found work that they can't work anymore because she can't get insurance. So what I've suggested is we need to talk to an insurance broker that's going to be sensible about this.
What about our Whitstable friends, Chaucer?
They only insure cars. So we need to talk to an insurance broker who will be sensible, because I think there may be an alternative way of doing this, because it all depends what she's trying to insure.
Or if the individual does it, perhaps it
might
be better.
You need cover as a business.
Okay.
Trust me on this. But there are different ways that you can cover things. I mean, it all depends what she's trying to cover. Mm. If she's just trying to cover to stop the bikes getting nicked, that's one thing. If she's trying to cover the potential for personal injury whilst at work, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
So she may be able to cover it with slightly different products, is all I'm saying. Mm. But what we need is an insurance broker, please, out there to get in touch with me or Jill and help us pick our way through this, because we can't be having this. £10,000 is ridiculous.
So how can they get in touch?
They can get in touch with Jill by emailing her at info@targetyourpotential.co.uk, or you can go to her website, which is www.targetyourpotential.co.uk, or you can just drop me an email, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk, and I will put you in touch with Jill. Let's get this sorted, please, folks. We don't want any more of this messing about. Thank you.
Had a tweet from Hilary Steele.
Have you? Never heard of her.
Flanking me on my left.
What's she doing today?
Well, she's actually moaning that she was hoping for Prosecco della Sirkin.
Ah, right, okay. Cool. Right, do you know what we're going to do now?
Well, we're not having tunage.
We're not having tunage for a change, no. I'm going to play a couple of pre-recorded interviews.
Reportage.
We've got some reportage.
Yes.
We've got some reportage going on. Nice one. We've got the first two of four today of some recorded interviews from the Rift Accounting Business Support Base Camp pop-up radio station that took place at Kent 2020 Live. And we've got Mr. Duncan Simmons, Orpington Director of Metro Bank, one of the new Challenger banks, and Hugh Furness of Post and Packing.
And we both lost our voice there, didn't we?
We did indeed. Let's have a listen to this.
Let's do it.
From the Pop-Up Business Bunker Show at Kent 2020 Live. I'm joined this morning by Mr. Duncan Simmons from Metro Bank. Duncan, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Cool. You've got a stand here. It's very popular, I can see. Loads of people clustering around your stand, and we dragged you over to talk to us about Metro Bank. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Metro? You're a challenger bank, aren't you?
Absolutely. We've stopped using the word new because we're kind of nearly 5 years old now.
Right, okay.
Challenger bank we're quite happy with. Okay. Yeah, we think banking in this country needs shaking up.
Right.
We use the word revolution.
Right.
We say come and join the revolution, and that's an invite to customers and to staff.
Okay. Can I ask you, people have talked about conventional high street banks closing branches. You guys are busy opening stores. How do you see that?
Well, exactly. Let me pick up on the word store first and foremost. Yeah. At Metro, we're different because we keep hours equivalent to retailers, like retailers do.
Right, okay.
And that means that we are open 12 hours a day during the week, 8 till 8.
Wow.
At the weekends, 8 till 6.
Wow.
Some days, 11 till 5. And on bank holidays. So we use the word store because we like to think of ourselves keeping the same hours as Apple or John Lewis or Tesco. Going to your question about branches, though, yeah, a lot of other banks, to be honest, have got too many locations.
Mm.
Sadly, though, the reason they close down those locations is usually to do with economics rather than the customer.
Right.
For us, obviously, growing, we actually want to open more.
Yep.
I think a research has shown that a decent bank nationwide in the UK should probably have 500 branches.
Okay.
Most of the big banks have got well over 1,000,
right,
which is why you're seeing them close.
Right.
Now, we're coming the other way. We've got 34 stores now. 35 opens next Friday in Tunbridge Wells.
Wow,
on the 22nd of May.
Okay.
That'll be a big party in Tunbridge Wells. We expect to get to about 42 stores by the end of this year.
Right.
And the goal is 120 stores in London and the South East before 2020.
Wow, okay. And Kent is going to be particularly well served, as I understand. You've already got your branch open in Orpington. You just mentioned you have Tunbridge Wells. I think you've got Maidstone coming along shortly.
Indeed, yes. We have a site now in Maidstone, and we expect builders to go on site sometime in the next few weeks. And if all goes to plan, we should be open in November.
Okay.
So we're excited about that.
So as a challenger bank, what is it that you're offering to potential customers? What kind of stands you apart from your opening times, which are fabulous?
Okay, well, we come back to the customer, and which is the heart of everything we do. Now, a lot of businesses talk about customer service or customer experience. Genuinely, that's all we care about. So what we do is, first and foremost, keep those opening hours that we've talked about, but also the service we give will be second to none.
Right.
The staff that we employ, that those that work with me, their only objective is to give outstanding service all day, every day.
Right.
As a bank, we don't do insurances, pensions, advice, investments, all those other things that you probably live in fear of when you go in to pay in on a lunchtime.
Absolutely.
Someone's
yeah.
going to ask you whether you've had a financial review.
Absolutely.
That is important, but as a bank, we decide not to do that.
Right.
We just do the traditional banking.
Okay. So, and that's for retail customers?
And business.
Yes. So retail and business customers.
Yeah. So okay. we can look after anybody from school children, which we do a great schools program, right through to decent sized commercial or small corporate businesses. The only thing that stops us looking after the really big ones is that we're still growing too.
Right.
And we need to be honest and say, yeah, if you're a multinational corporate, we're probably not for you just yet.
Yeah, no, you don't need them anyway.
No.
They're boring. Yeah. No, absolutely. No, that's fantastic news. And it's really great to see an innovation coming along in an industry that hasn't been renowned for innovating too much. I mean, there has been innovations in banking technology, obviously, with cash machines and online banking and what have you. But in terms of the structure of banks, it is really interesting to see a different approach to it.
Absolutely. And you know, we've got the advantage of being new. We were the first bank to be granted a new license to operate in the UK in over 100 years.
Wow. Okay.
Took a long time to get back in 2008. We opened in 2010.
Right.
But because we're small and growing, we have the ability to have cutting-edge technology.
Mm.
We don't have the legacy systems that every other bank has got, so you're not hamstrung by all that technology that holds you back from growth.
Absolutely.
Customers love it too. They love to come in and see us using the latest cutting-edge technology, mobile banking, but you can also do the traditional face-to-face and go to our cashiers and have a conversation with them. But you know, it's a mix of the old and the new.
Absolutely.
With people liken me to an old-fashioned bank manager, the Captain Mannering in my high street, if you like, where I am there in the store, you can come and talk to me, ask me about your business, ask me to go and present to your school, whatever you need me to do. But at the same time, we're using cutting-edge technologies.
Fantastic. Duncan, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show again. It's brilliant to hear about what you're doing in Kent especially, and I know you're on a bigger scale than that, but you're the local director for the Kent area, I believe?
For Bromley. We have a local director for every location.
Right, okay. Okay, so you're the Bromley local director. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of Kent 2020 Live.
Paul, thank you.
Cheers.
Hi. and I've just managed to snare the lovely Hugh Furness from Post and Packing Limited. And very exciting, because you know what's been happening, listener, with post offices. I mean, I live in Whitstable. My post office has closed in Gladstone Road. I'm always out, so when I get a parcel delivered, it always goes back. And, you know, the neighbours are always out, and I end up having to now drive from Whitstable to Canterbury, Hugh.
Oh, that's a bit of a jump.
So can you tell me, first of all, with your company, how you got started?
Well, basically, we were a customer of this post and packing. We took it over 3 years ago, put in some new processes and procedures, and really the shops offer very much what the post office does. So, for example, you can walk in, there's not big crowds, we're very fast at our procedures, so basically people can come in and buy stamps, stationery, they can send their mail, boxes, shipping, they can have a mailing address, they can do courier service. We do it all there for them, for the passing traffic, but also for businesses. So, for example, we will pick up and deliver all the business packages, or we do storage, pick and pack. So, for example, someone can put their products with us. When the order comes through, instead of them doing it, we can go in, pick and pack it and ship it. It's all done.
Does that mean, for example, that even somewhere like this, if someone was coming to put a stand up, you could deliver stuff here?
Absolutely, absolutely. In actual fact, we've actually got a couple that we've done that for.
What about overseas?
We do international. So everything from all our local postage and packaging right through to international. And we ship every single day. We're also a main hub for FedEx, and we do all of the mail services that Royal Mail do. But for example, we do offers. So every month there'll be a special running in every shop that says, hey, stamps are not, you know, 62p, but they're actually 49p. So there's a whole range of services. And of course, you can imagine, the minute we do that, we're absolutely swamped. You know, people say mail's going down, but our shops are absolutely rammed with the amount of mail that we actually do.
So what you're saying is that you're offering a better service than the post office, or as good as it used to be.
We're going back to the GPO,
you and I, aren't we?
I would say that this is actually going back to that point where the post office was a key service within that town. And what we're trying to do is create that old style fashion service that people come in, and everybody that uses us knows the shop manager. It's all very friendly. I mean, we've got a lot of people that come in just because of that service, but also we're very fast at what we do. You don't have to queue or anything like that. You come in, you do your business, and you've gone.
And you're based, the company's based in Westmorling.
It is, yeah. That was our first site, Westmorland, Kings Hill site.
Yeah.
And then we launched our other site in Tunbridge Wells, which is going successfully. We launched that, actually, it was his birthday last week.
Whose birthday?
Tunbridge Wells.
Okay.
So everybody got cakes, and it was all really, really good. And that company became profitable within 3 months.
Are you franchising these, or is it all staying under your umbrella?
We're doing a two-split operation. So basically, we are expanding across Kent with our own start site. So we've already earmarked Tunbridge and Maidstone that are going to be launched in the next few months.
Yeah.
We'll roll out around about 26 sites in Kent. We launch our franchise operation in February in the London XL at the franchise show. And that actually starts the training and launch on Monday.
This sounds fantastic. It's a great opportunity. And I think certainly the feeling amongst the elderly in that what you're offering is a lifeline for people like that too.
Well, it's interesting you say that. We've got a number of OAPs that actually use us, and one of them is actually over 100 years old, and he walked all the way down the hill to our Tunbridge Wells side. And he's such a lovely guy. We always have a bit of a banter with him, and he said, well, when are you going to get me a chair? So we actually brought some chairs to actually put in our post office, so we can actually come in and sit down while he's never used them, but he still comes down anyway.
He's recreating the post office of his youth, no doubt.
I think he is.
He'd probably
yeah.
need a few chickens wandering about, and, you know.
Yeah.
So you can stamp and frank and everything else?
Yeah, we don't frank. We sell stamps at competitive rates.
Yeah.
We also do mailings, and we do big fulfilment jobs as well. So anybody wants to buy a stamp or send mail or packages, we can do that either locally, what we call within the UK, or internationally. And we can pretty much beat anybody that's out there, including the Royal Mail.
That sounds fantastic. I'm going to give a quick shout for your website, which is postandpackinguk.com. You've been listening to Hugh Furness, Post and Packing Limited. It's been great.
Inspiration. Join in the conversation with hashtag Daily Bread from Mike Waterton.
Right now, there are small business owners like you claiming back on average £46,000 from the government. You see, the government wants to reimburse companies for innovation. What does this mean for you? Well, put simply, if your staff have spent time and resources developing your business, you could claim back cash. We're RIFT. We're specialists in preparing claims for small businesses. To find out from RIFT if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 9th of June, and you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stunningly gorgeous Jules Serkin. That was the first of two interviews we're going to do today that we recorded at Kent 2020 Live with the RIFT accounting team. I hope you enjoyed them. We're going to start talking to some of our guests shortly. We're going to read a couple more emails and tweets, and then we'll talk to our first studio guest. I've had a message from the lovely Trish at Compass Inventories, the company of choice for letting agents and landlords across Greater London. You can get hold of Compass Inventories by phone on 0208 290 1000. Probably the easier way to get hold of them is via their website, which is compassinventories.com, compassinventories.com, or you can follow them on the Twitter, which is Compass Check-in. Compass Check-in, C-H-E-C-K-I-N, Compass Check-in, all one word. So that's Compass Inventories, the company of choice for letting agents and landlords across Greater London. Do check them out. Did you see what I did there? Cool. Jules.
Hello.
Read something. Stop playing with your phone.
No, I was just looking. Apparently in one of those interviews, I must have mentioned the GPO because we weren't listening, Danny. We were chatting when those interviews. But I do vaguely remember. He said, GPO? What's that? Because you have to be of a certain age to remember the GPO.
Cool.
Do you know when I left school, listener, the job that you were told to do as a young girl in the, you know, I don't know when it was, dark ages, it was to be a GPO telephonist. That was the job to get. It was like, if you were GPO trained as a telephonist, anybody, you know, over 50 will remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Paul Andrews, Thames Path, there's a 50k kilometre walk for water. What's this, you may ask? The Thames Path, it's a unique trail. It's varied and it's got beautiful scenery, they say. It's also steeped in history and has a superb backdrop for an ultra challenge. And they'd like you to join the team at Fields of Life and make a difference to someone's life in East Africa. And the aim is to raise enough money to build fresh water or a water well in northern Uganda. There'll be clean, accessible drinking water, and it's essential for day-to-day life.
Right.
Yet in many parts of East Africa, people suffer sickness and death due to waterborne diseases. So this is on, it's a diary date, it's Saturday, September the 12th, and the start is at 8:30 a.m. at Bishop's Park in Fulham. And the finish is at Runnymede Pleasure Grounds at about 7 p.m. If I were doing it, it would be a bit later, I think. So it's 50...
a few days later. Yeah.
50 kilometres, yes.
Yeah.
It's £39 to register, and there's a target sponsorship of £295 minimum required. Yeah. To find out more, please go to thamespathchallenge.com. And this is from Debbie Cameron, the lovely
Debbie Cameron.
So
Fields of Life.
Her email is debbie.cameron, that's O-N at the end of Cameron, at fieldsoflife.org. And that will be on the Kent Business Radio website too.
Fantastic. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Do you know what? I think we will talk to our first studio guest of the day.
Should.
What do you think?
And who's it going to be? Surprise me.
Well, it shouldn't be a surprise because we did work this out earlier. You just weren't paying attention
when
we organised it.
Sammy, Samsung Gas is leading the industry. He's sending me pictures of GPO vans and things.
Is he really?
He's gone mad.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. You old bird, you.
Yes.
Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show
a young bird.
A young lady.
Well, that's very kind. I think it's good makeup.
The lovely Claire Reeves of Claire Reeves Voiceovers. Claire, Welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you. It's fabulous to be here because I listen in and send you tweets.
You do indeed.
Yeah. So how smashing to see you both in person.
But she's going to be teaching us a thing or two.
Am I?
Yes.
Well, I see.
This must be quite disconcerting for someone that's got experience in radio to come into a studio a bit like this, which is a little bit on the rabbit hutchy side.
Yeah, she's been making little pointed notes while we've been talking.
Yeah. look at the dust in here, kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, you say that, but you see, I think part of the mystique of the radio studio is that they're all a little bit different and a bit quirky. I spent many years working as what we called a studio manager, which is kind of a sound engineer with a little bit of production in as well at the BBC World Service at Bush House.
Right, okay.
Now, incredible building. Full of mysterious corridors, and all of the sound desks were a little bit different from the last one you used, and most of the programmes we put on air, never understood a word of it.
I know Bush House really, really well. I don't know when you were there, and I don't want you to tell us if you don't want
Probably about Rolf Harris's time when you were there.
No, but I used to work for Citibank. And Citibank were next door to Bush House, and we actually owned the building that Bush House was part of.
Ah.
And we were forever drilling through the walls there and doing
you.
Stuff. It was me. Yeah.
Do you know what? Yeah, you're recording a drama. It's taken you.
Yeah.
To do that again now. Thank you. Who was that?
Yeah. So, aren't they selling off all of those now?
Well, Bush House is. Gone, I think that now belongs to one of the universities, actually. Who is it? Is it King's College across the road?
Okay.
So we're quite glad as studio managers.
Yeah, and I think it's.
Who are a generally fairly scruffy band of individuals, that it's actually going to be inhabited by students. So that feels about right.
Absolutely. Now, funnily enough, I lecture occasionally for the LSE, and the LSE have actually acquired the building because the Citibank building in front of it has now been demolished, and it's a hotel, I think.
See, it's all very painful, all of this.
It is. I mean, because Bush House itself is a gorgeous building. It's a piece of architecture. Lovely, lovely building.
And an incredible environment to work in where, when I started there, that was 97, it was full of 41 languages. So you've got people from literally all over the world.
Because were you working for the World Service?
Yes, at that point I was.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
It was extraordinary and one of those jobs that was a complete privilege to do.
Yeah.
And, I'm still very good friends with the people I trained with to do that and all the rest of it. And it's one of those life-changing things, I think, to have done that job.
Absolutely.
Very, very comforting to listen to the World Service, I always think. My husband listens in the mornings.
It's one of the key drivers behind the BBC, as far as I'm concerned, and the World Service. And it's one of those things, no matter what you do with any other platform in the BBC, the World Service, as a public service broadcaster, is crucially, crucially important.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I could get very dull about the BBC, because I know things that, you know, most people don't care about regarding things like the Charter. You know, it's part of the Royal Charter to take the UK to the world and bring the world to the UK. And I think, you know, the World Service does that single-handedly, actually.
Mm.
So completely wonderful place to work, yeah. So that taught me the technical side, so watch it.
Yeah, I have to tell you, listeners, she's looking at me admonishingly, pushing my knobs over here. Incorrectly.
But you know, I do a bit of technical work now. It's all very useful. It's funny how things work out, isn't it, really, in life? I use all the skills that I learned there, working on my own, effectively, in a small padded room in my house, which is my studio.
You have your own studio at home,
yes,
which is amazing.
And
where is home?
Home's Folkestone.
Oh, right.
So I am your South Kent-based voiceover artist for all your voiceover needs. it's really essential these days to have your own studio because a lot of your work comes in and you need to be able to turn that around for people quickly, send it back out digitally. So you really do need your own studio.
Absolutely. I mean, I want to talk about your business and what you do eventually, but this is all fascinating stuff as well, because the world and Channel Radio and the Business Bunker here is a classic example of this. We've been able to launch a radio station here on a very low cost budget, as you can probably tell, listener.
We've got lovely little blue lights under here now.
Yeah, exactly. But it's something that 20, 30 years ago was impossible.
Absolutely.
You couldn't remotely do what we do now without the technology, and it's the technology that has facilitated that. But you can now run a radio station using just a PC, your living room, a microphone and a set of headsets.
Absolutely, and you know, being able to broadcast digitally without having to have sort of FM bandwidth or anything like that.
Absolutely.
Has meant that so many more people have been able to get involved in broadcasting.
Absolutely.
There's both sides to that, I guess, as well.
Because you get loads of rubbish.
You get loads of rubbish. But it does also mean that people get the opportunity to dabble in broadcasting who wouldn't perhaps normally get a chance to do so as well. And that can only be good because it's fun.
Absolutely.
And it's important.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, it's funny how things come around. An awful long time ago, way before you were working in Bush House, I worked in the US and I lived in the US briefly. And of course, US radio is a very different phenomenon to here. And they've always had wall-to-wall nuttiness and weirdos. And I was working in a place just outside Hartford in Connecticut. And at lunchtime, we used to drive up to the local airfield because we could pick up a station from Boston. And 30 years on, I still remember this station, really, because it was just insane. It was called The Covenant, the Sword, the Arm of the Lord, okay, was the name of the station. And the tagline was Bazookas for Jesus.
Okay. Oh, goodness.
Really? And it wasn't supposed to be funny, but we thought it was hilarious, and it was the funniest thing on radio. And it was just this renty nutcase that was trying to generate money so that he could attack the commies on his own. But, you know, we've never had that in the UK because our infrastructure isn't the same as theirs. But that's changing because internet radio has enabled that, and digital in general means that you can now attack markets in a reasonable way to do lots of different things.
Yeah, and podcasting's huge as well.
I mean, absolutely.
I think that's only going from strength to strength. I do a lot of voiceover sort of branding for that as well, sort of, you know, who if you're doing a podcast on a particular subject, there are companies out there, and, you know, I work for them, who will put together jingle packages and things for podcasts. It's not just radio now. So
absolutely.
There are so many opportunities now to get out there and talk and be heard.
Absolutely. And I really do believe there's a renaissance in radio. And you know, if you type podcasting into the same thing, what should we call it? Audio entertainment and information. There's a huge renaissance in that because technology has made it, on the one hand, easy to do, but it also makes it a quality thing that you can do because digital technology is the way that it is.
And it's quick as well. It's not like you've got to kind of get a TV program commissioned, cast it, edit it, schedule it, all the rest of it. You know, if you want to do something on air, as long as you've got the kit and you've had you know what you're doing roughly, you can put a podcast out pretty much straight away.
For absolutely.
People. What kind of people are using your services, Claire?
Huge range. I mean, traditionally, I suppose you think of a voiceover artist as being someone who did TV commercials, that kind of thing, you know, and I've done those, which are fab. They're always the fun ones you want to do. But it's also, I've got a lot of clients in the Middle East, funny enough, who quite enjoy a British voice, probably because of the expat community. My most hilarious Middle Eastern client, I am the voice of the Abu Dhabi Sewerage Services Company.
The Abu Dhabi what?
Sewerage Services Company.
Sewerage Services.
Talking about floaters.
Absolutely. It's one of those things that I think these jobs are brilliant for keeping your feet on the ground.
Absolutely.
Absolutely superb for doing that, aren't they? They keep you rooted.
I have a story about that as well. Many, many years ago, I owned a motor racing team, and we were competing with another lad, and he was sponsored by Diffed Sludge. And whenever he came runner-up, he never beat us. Whenever he came runner-up, he was on the podium, and he was saying his broad words, "I'd just like to thank my sponsor, Diffed Sludge." And everybody would fall about laughing all the time.
That's beautiful. But, you know, then you get to do really lovely things, like I've narrated some documentaries for National Geographic Channel.
Right, okay.
I don't think that kick ever goes away, by the way. You've got to love what I do, because otherwise you'd give up within a day, because it's so competitive. When you watch the telly and it's you going, this is Borneo, you know.
And you've never been there.
I've never been there. You know, I've been to the studio and recorded, you know, done the dubbing, and you can hear all the animals and everything around you, all the squawking and stuff. So you feel like you're there, to all intents and purposes. I've written quite a lengthy blog on this, by the way, on my website, if anyone's kind of keen to know the behind-the-scenes aspect of voicing narration for things. But that kick that you get from it. I never thought as a broadcaster that I would find that off air, but you can, and you can, you know, when you see something that you've recorded like that, cold away from the actual broadcasting moment. Right. That's such a kick.
Well, it's interesting that you should say that, Claire, because it's one of the things I wanted to ask you about. Is, I'm sorry about this, this is all kind of a bit lovey. It's almost a bit actory, you
Go
know,
on,
like,
well,
where does your motivation come from? How do you, you know, what I mean is, though, if somebody comes to you with a script and says, like, we want you to narrate this,
yeah.
and as you say, the finished television programme sounds like you're there.
Yeah.
You're presumably doing this in a dry studio. How do you kind of make that work, really?
Well, I think for things like National Geographic documentaries, I think the thing with those is that they are such superb productions. Mm. You're listening to that audio on your ears. In front of you, there's a screen which has got the moving pictures on, so you can see the
you can actually see what
you can see.
Right,
it.
Okay.
You've got a producer and a sound engineer the other side of the glass, and you've had a chat beforehand about sort of the style that they wanted in. But when you're presented with something like that and the script in front of you, you know, I wouldn't be doing my job right if it didn't feel kind of quite natural to do.
Yeah.
Because you get the pace from what you're seeing, you get the idea of the atmosphere and the story you're telling from what you're hearing.
Well, that
was
what I was thinking about, the timing, because you've got to have the right clip with the right thing.
You do,
must be quite difficult.
And many eyes, because if you think about it, you're sitting there with a script in front of you and you've got some terribly long words that you don't want to get too wrong too many times, because you don't want to get tutted out, really. You know, time is money, etc. And then in front of you, you've got the telly with all the pictures on, you know, so you're kind of looking at a lot of things at once, and you've got squawks and monkeys and, you know, pitter patter rainfall going on in your ears, and it's just bringing all those things together. But I think voiceover artists have very vivid imaginations anyway, because we have to create magic on our own in a small dark room, you know, with usually a lot less stimulus than that, you know, a script, someone says, okay, yeah, you've worked in that company 10 years, this is maybe for an e-learning or something, you know, this, you have this amount of authority, but you're friendly and warm, and, you know, that's usually as much as you'll get.
Absolutely.
You want it fairly fast or, you know, whatever.
Because it's interesting. I mean, on Channel Radio, we do plays. Mm. We have our plays that are written for us.
Plays what we wrote.
Yeah. And we produce and broadcast them. Which is unusual for a small station like us.
It is.
But, you know, watching them being done, it's really, again, it's different because, you know, it's dry, if you see what I mean. There's just three people stood around the microphone with a script in their hand.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, there's no real action going on or anything. But when you watch the actors doing it, they still act. They still have, they can't not do it any other way.
No,
they have to act.
Because the performance isn't, you know, and I don't stand in my booth reading something straight, standing still with a script in front of me, you know. It depends what the character is. If I'm putting something across that's quite young, my physicality changes.
Yeah.
You know, if we talked a little bit sort of off air about sort of the sound of commercial radio commercial voice, you know, being kind of up here, and you've got to back off the mic, you know, you probably change your posture a bit.
Yeah.
I've got to lose 10 years somehow, you know, but this is really great. You've got to buy some of this. So it's right up there.
Mm.
But if I'm then doing something that's a lot warmer and a lot closer, and I need you to feel a bit of love,
right,
we'll just get in a bit more, and, you know, it's a hug thing.
Right.
So you constantly change the physicality depending on what you're doing. And then, you know, then you've got the whole world of animation and video gaming, which is getting bigger and bigger.
Oh, wow. So do you do that?
Not yet.
Right,
although,
okay.
That's a little work in progress.
Oh, that could be cool, couldn't it?
I know. Yeah. There are people I know, the voiceover network community is quite a tight one, actually, for many reasons. And some of my esteemed colleagues are doing really fabulous
was
things
that
with animation.
Esteemed, or was it steamed?
In a little. Well, I think, you know, if you get to do some of the animations, again, you record on your own, and you might be, you know, recording down the line. But there are some studios that are now developed to record voiceover animation, so the actors will come in and they'll see the character they're supposed to be performing sort of on a screen, and, you know, again, assuming that physicality. But there's a lot of jumping around and screaming on your own in a room,
right,
you know, and even words that aren't words, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
You know, but that's a very exciting world. Yeah. But as far as sort of business in Kent goes, there's a lot of buzz at the moment. Everyone wants kind of the best SEO, don't they, on their websites.
Sure.
And there's a lot of explainer films and animation. They're about a minute or two long for people's front page of their websites about at the moment. So I do quite a lot of that.
Okay.
You know, client name drop Trivago. I work for them doing sort of a lot of, your company needs this, and you know, that kind of very happy, positive, informative kind of sound for business promotion is a really big area at the moment.
Right.
And, you know, one that I'm keen to do more of as well.
Sure. It's funny, isn't it? When you start talking about all these routes to market, as we would put them in the business community, you don't think about it. You know, voice, even owning a radio station, voiceover artists, I think, are people that do our jingles and links and adverts. Mm-hmm. But there are so many other routes to market,
it's
everywhere. And so many audio links and things. And I just hadn't thought that through. That's really interesting to talk about both sides of that.
And it's interesting because, you know, as someone who runs their own business effectively, I've got to be constantly aware of all of those opportunities,
where
they are. You know, I have folders with theme months to try and keep my brain organized because I would naturally go, oh, look at that great thing, I'll go and do that. Oh no, let's do this thing. Mm. And a real challenge is to keep focused on it, and make sure that you're going to do those phone calls. Nobody likes cold calling, but they do pay off, you know, in my world.
Sure.
Do you do it in different voices according to the client?
Yeah. Now it's the Queen. It's the Queen here.
I try not to be an idiot, really. Mainly, I just try to be as natural as possible. It's like when people say to you, oh, you don't sound like a voiceover artist. Like, oh, what, really?
What does one sound like?
Exactly. You know, what does that sound like? You know, that sounds like any, you know, it's like saying to an actor, you don't sound like that character that you played 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, you want to have friends in life and people to take you seriously. So if you start kind of going, hello, I'm a voiceover artist, how are you? You know, that you're not going to go well. People are not going to like you for that.
I was saying to Claire earlier, and I can't find it, unfortunately. We've actually got an advert, and I have no idea why we've got it, that we play out on the station, which has a character in it called Voiceover Man.
Really?
It's a parody. It's a parody of a voiceover man.
And it's extremely helpful.
Yeah, no, it's not. Not at all. I can't remember what it's for. It's for something else. The advert is for something else, but the character in it is Voiceover Man. Hello, I'm Voiceover Man. And it's that affected silliness.
I think it's interesting what you said about the Gulf regions liking an English accent, and I think it certainly happens when you're in the USA.
Oh, totally.
They love, and when we have my food show is syndicated out in the USA, you know, from the word we started, the first week they snapped on. They love, I mean, Nurse Liz is listening now from Maryland. She wakes up at 6 to listen to the 11 o'clock show, but they love a Brit accent on the whole. But there were, going back a while to BBC, especially Radio 2, there was a time when they brought in lots of northern, they wanted northern dialects. Do you remember that? When everything was one, you know, Radio 1, and it was all northern. They sort of, because the BBC always get on about
bandwagon. All right, you're right.
Yeah.
Manchester.
I mean, it's difficult because as someone who's got kind of a fairly neutral RP, as we'd call it, although I don't kind of really have terribly received pronunciation. You know, I'm from
but
Devon.
You could have if you wanted.
Yeah, exactly. I'm from Devon via London, living in Kent, you know, and that probably is how I sound.
She likes her cider.
Oh, don't actually.
Oh, really?
Devonian hating cider. Yeah, I know.
That's why she's in Folkestone. They deported her.
I wondered how far along the coast I could get before cider would be wafted in front
so
of my
you
face.
So you keep your accent neutral.
Yeah.
But you could lilt a bit if you wanted.
Exactly. My dad's actually a Yorkshireman, which is handy. So I was brought up hearing northern sounds. So you tend to use a bit of northern if you're doing something you need to feel trusted about.
Yeah. Right.
So you can bring a bit of that in, you know. But not too much. It's useful for versatility if somebody needs a few variations. But really, they're going to hire someone with a Yorkshire accent if they want a Yorkshire accent.
Like Hovis, I'm thinking, do you remember we had real butter?
It was real bread and butter in my day.
Yeah.
You know, so if they want that, that's probably what they'll hire.
Yeah.
If they want somebody to kind of be fairly neutral and enthusiastic and, you know, that kind of smiley thing, then, you know, I get paid quite well for doing that sort of stuff.
So just on that, we're kind of fast coming towards the end of this bit, which is a shame because this is fascinating and I'm absolutely loving this. From a marketing point of view, and I'm thinking as a business now, when you say, and I don't want to be rude or facetious in here, but people that work in the entertainment industry, say models, for instance, have a portfolio of products and poses and they go, you know, I'm blonde, I'm 5'3" or whatever. Is there a similar kind of thing with voiceovers, which is, you know, I'm from the South, but I can do a mean Yorkshire if you really ask me kind of thing? Or
I guess so. It's quite elusive because, and to be honest with you, I'm still chasing this. Right. I've just started working with a very, very nice voiceover coach. She's sort of the best one in LA, so I'm really looking forward to that. And part of what she does with you is brand you a bit.
Right.
Someone that I worked with before referred to me as confident, warm and assured, which is kind of where you go. You kind of, those are your headlines. But you want to, it's a difficult one because you want to be versatile because you don't want to scare the work away. Mm. But also you want to be a voice that people go, oh, Claire will do that. That's how she sounds. Right. So it's a toss up really between having the versatility and I can do all these things. Mm. You know, you don't want to be someone that they can't pin down.
Sure.
Because that's got its advantages as well. So over the next 6 months, as I work with this new coach, I think I'll probably decide more what I am.
Right.
It's an interesting right. one. And the other thing with it, of course, is that it's intensely personal.
Sure.
You know, it's not like you make a thing and that's over there. Mm. It's you.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, oh, gosh, what am I? What's she going to say? Oh, a bit nervous. Mm. You know, what's she going to say about that?
What? Many, many, many years ago, when my eldest son was about 4 or 5, and he's 30 now, so a long, long time ago, I used to work as a motivational speaker. And I came downstairs one day, and Jamie was sat in front of the television, and he had a video on, which was me speaking. And he looked at me, and he went, "Mum says you get paid for that." And I went, "Yeah." He said, "We have to do that in the Cubs for nothing."
Yeah.
Do you?
If you ask my little boy, who's going to be 4 at the end of the week, what's
his name?
Barnaby. Aww.
Barnaby.
Happy
Hello.
Birthday, Barnaby.
Happy birthday.
If you ask him what mummy's job is, it's doing talking. That's it. What does mummy do? Talking. What do people pay mummy to do?
Most
talking.
Women.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, you know, I've somehow lucked out there.
Claire, we could talk about this forever, but for the moment, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Give us a shout for your website, and people, you've got a blog on there as well.
Yes, I have. I've been exploring the theme of creativity and sort of inspiration when you work on your own, because
right.
you can drive yourself mad. So I've written a blog about that, and you can find my blogs and my showreels if you want to hear what I sound like properly when I'm not, you know,
on
trying to sound like a normal person,
yeah.
You know, and to keep friends. If you go to ClaireReevesVoiceovers.com, ClaireReeves, ClaireReevesVoiceovers.com. I'm
cool.
on there. And you can, you know, I'm at Claire on Air Live on the Twitters as well.
Fantastic. There is a link on the Kent Business Radio website to your website. Do check that out. Do have a look at Claire's website. Do read her blogs. Fascinating, fascinating business that a lot of us don't have a lot of experience of. So, you know, do listen to it. And
reminds me of, I needed a jingle for my food show for Riverford, and I didn't have a budget. So I had a kitchen fitter in my house, and I noticed he had a Kent accent. I said, "You've got a great Kent accent." And he said, "Have I?" And I whisked him up to my Mac and made him do a Riverford Sisters. They're fruity. And I still play it. And it was like 2 years ago. Poor builder. You know?
Well, I hope he's you know, been given all his money and his
royalties.
His
royalties.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hope that's all above board.
We'll say no more about that.
Passing right over to Equity.
Claire, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you very much.
Do stay for the rest of the show. Absolute pleasure to hear from you and your fantastic, interesting and wow business.
Fascinating.
Really is yeah. fascinating. I could have talked about that for hours.
And in Folkestone.
Yeah, absolutely. Local. Cool. We're nearly at the end of the first segment of the show. We're gonna take a break in a minute for a few moments.
Lisa Settle is moaning that there's no tunage.
I'm sorry, Lisa, we just got too much on the show. I did notice, I haven't got the tweet to hand. She did notice that she tweeted in some suggestions for Gillian on the insurance issue as well. So do keep your suggestions coming in for that. We do appreciate that, and we do need some help for that.
But more importantly, Lisa is...